We shall now turn to Psalm 86. And you'll notice that it's called a prayer of David. Now the psalms around it are all songs of Korah, or the sons of Korah, yet this psalm is Davidic. Now, it's interesting that the psalm itself is made up of bits from other psalms. It's a kind of mosaic. So you have parts of Psalms 25 to 28 and Psalms 54 to 57 that are gathered together, as it were, in this one psalm. It's not obvious in the English, but the commentators tell us it's quite obvious in the Hebrew. And all these psalms that are quoted here are psalms of David. So one possibility would be that the sons of Korah composed this mosaic, as it were, gathered bits of various psalms together, making this one psalm of David, which is very much a prayer from the beginning to the end. It's a prayer, and of course the whole psalm is inspired by God, and it presents us indeed with a very earnest prayer, and one that expresses, I'm sure, the longings and desires of your own heart. Begins with the words, "Bow down thine ear." And we've got to remember how great and mighty and glorious God is. And God is way up there in heaven. Why should God listen to us? There are thousands and millions of people in the world. Why should he listen to any? Why should he listen to me or you? Why should he bother with the little creatures on this earth? But that is God's choice. He has made us in his own image, and as his creatures, as those dependent upon him, and as those called into fellowship with him, and indeed as those who have been adopted by him as his children, we have a right, and it's proper and appropriate for us to say, "Great and mighty God, bow down thine ear. Listen to our petitions. Hear our cries. For I am poor and needy." How poor and needy we are. There are some, of course, and they don't think of themselves as poor and needy. They think of themselves like the Pharisees in the time of Jesus. They think of themselves as so righteous, so great, so important, so good living. Maybe we might think, well, King David, who wrote the psalm, surely he wasn't poor and needy. Yet every true child of God is convicted of this. If you're a real Christian, one of the things you're very conscious of is your sinfulness and your lack of righteousness and how you deserve nothing. And therefore you come to the Lord as a beggar. I'm a beggar, a poor and needy beggar. I come to the Lord, and he hears and he answers. When trouble comes, when darkness is all around us, when we are tempted to despair, there's one to whom we should turn. "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, O Jehovah, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy." Now, sometimes in the past when I've been asked to sing this psalm, I've sort of wondered, is it right to sing, "I'm holy"? It seems awfully self-righteous. Who dares say, I'm holy? But the psalmist here is not talking about his perfection. He's talking about himself rather as belonging to the separate people, belonging to the holy people, belonging to the saints, belonging to the Israel of God. You are holy. You are God's holy people. You were sinners, but now you're saints. Born again, converted, indwelt by the Spirit, justified by faith. I am holy, not in the sense that I'm almost perfect, but in the sense that I belong to the Church of God. I belong to the holy people. You remember how holy is used in that sense in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is talking about a couple, where one of the couple is unconverted. And the unconverted one, he says, is sanctified by the converted one. And your children, he says, are holy. Holy in the covenant sense. Holy in the sense of belonging to the Church of God. So he says, preserve my soul, for I am one of your people. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Now there's something very important there. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting when you feel anxious, worried, distressed, perplexed. Where else can you go? Trust in the Lord. I, poor and needy, am. Come, Lord, and make no stay. My help thou and deliverer art. My God, make no delay. I trust in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord forever, because you're never wasting your time trusting in the Lord. None perish that him trust. Those who trust in him shall never perish. Save thy servant. Yes, I'm a sinner who needs to be saved. And even as a holy person, I'm still a sinful saint, but I need to be saved. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Can you say that tonight? Lord, I trust in you. Things are difficult. Things are anxious. Things are worrying. Things are painful. Things are going against me. There's this difficulty tomorrow. There's this big problem next week. But I trust in thee. Verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee. Be merciful. I deserve thy wrath and curse, but I trust in thee. Like the publican going up to the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How unlike the Pharisee. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Think about me, Lord, how good I am. But no, the true Christian, the true man or woman of God, they cry, be merciful unto me, O Lord. I cry unto thee daily, every day I pray, not just on Sundays, every day. We never get beyond this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And every day you and I must pray, forgive us our debts. Verse 4, rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Well, there you have words from Psalm 25, don't you? To thee I lift my soul. O Lord, I trust in thee. We lift up our soul. In what sense? Well, there's so many, and they're looking down, and they're looking around them, and they're looking to the world and the pleasures of the world and the gods of the world and the people of the world and popularity from the world. But to thee I lift my soul. I look up. I am dependent upon God. It is to the Lord that I direct my attention. There's nobody around that can help me. And there's nothing in this world that I desire. Whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire, besides thee there is none. O Lord, I lift up my soul to thee. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant. Give me joy. Joy not in the world and worldly pleasures, but joy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Thou art good. Notice how the prayer here is based upon the character of God. The kind of God he is. It's not based on us and our righteousness. But thou art good. Thou art merciful. Thou art ready to forgive. Thou art a great God, a mighty God, long-suffering and slow to wrath and mercy plenteous. God reveals himself to us in the Bible as good. Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. Good unto all men is the Lord. O'er all his works, his mercy is. Good, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, kind. Lord, that's your character. And therefore we plead for your blessing. A plea that is based upon the nature of the God whom thou art. Plenteous in mercy. His arms always open to us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't despair. Remember the character of God. The other night I spent the night more or less constantly awake, troubled and perplexed and worried and anxious, and forgetting the character of God. And then in the morning I was directed to a verse of scripture, to Psalm 42 verse 5, to trust in the Lord. And it brought peace. What wonderful peace it brings. When we are despairing, discouraged, disheartened in ourselves, wondering how we can go on, how can we manage, and then we remember the Lord. I put my confidence in thee, the Lord that will never let us down, that is plenteous in mercy. We must not despair. Remember how gracious the Lord is. And then verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. The psalmist had a real sense of need. His prayer is not a superficial prayer. Too often our prayers are just words. We're maybe going round a number of things that we from time to time pray about, but it's lacking earnestness. It's just talk, just words. But no, we must come with our supplications to the Lord, our earnest intercession, our desperate pleadings. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Real prayer. God wants real prayer, not half-hearted prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications. And then verse 7 is a word of confident faith. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I will call upon thee, because it's not a waste of time calling upon the Lord. Thou wilt answer me. Thou wilt grant me my request. Thou wilt bless me with heavenly blessings. I know thee. Thou hast answered my prayers in the past. Time and time again I have experienced prayers answered. So I'm going to come again to the one who's given me so much in the past. You know, when there's maybe someone who gives to a beggar something, then the next day the beggar comes back, and maybe a few of his friends come back as well. And so it is that the beggars keep coming back to where they're going to get something. And so it should be with us. We should be like those who've learned and discovered how generous our God is. And so we come to him. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? But the preachers are sent, and they declare the message, the glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Trusting in God, because he'll never let us down. Trusting in the Lord, because he only is our deliverer. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why in me so dismayed? Trust God, for I shall praise him yet. His countenance is mine aid. His face turns towards me. His smile appears upon his face, the shining of his countenance. Oh, why art thou cast down? Are you cast down today? Are you discouraged and depressed? Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why in me so dismayed, distraught, distracted, discouraged, depressed? Trust God, for I shall praise him yet. I shall praise him yet. His countenance is mine aid. Verse 8, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Amongst the gods that man has invented, the gods that they have made for themselves, there's no God like the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is unique. He's different. Yes, they have their mighty gods. And they have gods that are ruthless. And gods that are merciless to sinners. But our God, He's great. He's the Creator who created everything. He's the God of providence who provides for all His creatures. He's the God who is holy and just and hates sin and punishes it. And He's the God who in His grace and mercy has given to us His own Son to be our Savior, to die for us, and to make atonement on our behalf. No other God ever gave His Son to die for sinners. No other God is so holy and just, so loving, long-suffering, merciful and forgiving. Among the gods there is none like unto Thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto Thy works. Not only creation, not only providence, not only ruling the world, but this great work of redemption. God becoming man, poor and humble, a servant, suffering and dying for sinners, laid in the grave, and overcoming Satan and death and hell by His death. Among the gods there is none like Thee. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee. Now this is a wonderful verse. All nations whom Thou hast made. Now there are some people and they are what's called amillennial. And they believe that things are just going to get worse and worse. And things will get more dark and more depressing and more dangerous and more difficult. And then one day Christ will come again and sort everything out. But then when would this verse be fulfilled? All nations whom Thou made shall come and worship before Me. Oh, they say, well, that happens at the end of the world, when everybody comes and acknowledges God. But notice that it doesn't say all individuals here. It says all nations. Nations. At the end of the world, nations won't exist. There will be no nations then. There'll just be individuals standing before the judge. Nations exist in this world. Nations rise and fall in this world. God judges the nations here. And here we're told that God will save the nations, and that there will be a time where not just one or two nations will be Christian, but when all the nations of the world will come and worship the Lord. When Christianity will be universal. It's a great promise. And it's to be found right throughout the Old Testament. And of course it's to be found in the New too. And you have it even in the book of Revelation. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. That's our prayer. That's our longing. Maybe it's going to happen very soon. Often it's darkest before the dawn. And it's certainly very dark today. With atheism. And secularism. And all kinds of perversions promoted. And all kinds of defections in the Christian church. But how quickly a nation born in a day. How quickly the Jews converted and the Gentiles, life from the dead reaching to them, so that all nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. We're to plead for this. It's there for us in the scriptures. Let us pray for it and look for it. Verse 10, for thou art great and doest wonderful things. Thou art God alone. How great is our God. He shall have in all things the preeminence. The history of the world, unless this happens, would seem to give the preeminence to the devil. Satan always has the majority, the vast majority. He seems to rule supreme. So many in the churches apostatize and fall away, and the churches anyway are just a remnant. But thou art great. Our God is great and does wondrous things. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. He did wondrous things in judgment when he destroyed the ancient world with a flood. He did wondrous things when he brought his people out of the land of Egypt, bringing great plagues upon the mighty power of Egypt. He did wondrous things when he brought back his people from their captivity in the land of Babylon. He did wondrous things when he raised up his son from the dead, from the grave. Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou alone art God. And so we look to thee to do great things, converting the nations, transforming the world, and glorifying thyself and thy son. What did he say to his son? Sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Oh, that hasn't happened yet. The enemies are raging and roaring, blaspheming and cursing and fighting and persecuting. Sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. They shall lick the dust before thee. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. This again reminds us of Psalm 25, doesn't it? Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. Teach me thy ways, Lord. What is my desire? My desire is to be where thou wouldst have me be, doing what thou wouldst have me do, living a life to the glory of God, spending and being spent for thee in this world, and then going to be with thee forever, praising thee to the endless ages of eternity. Teach me, Lord. Help me to know the difference between right and wrong, to know what thou wouldst have me to do. Teach me, and by grace I'll walk in thy truth. Unite my heart. Bring, as it were, my heart together. Take from me all distractions and unite my heart to fear thy name, so that I would be single-minded, fearing God, serving God, loving God, following the Lord. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Praise God with all your heart. Praise God forever. In this life and in the next life. Not half-hearted praising, but fully praising with all your heart, seriously, solemnly, genuinely. This is our desire. When you hear my prayers, Lord, I will praise thee. When you answer me, I will praise thee. When you deliver me, I will praise thee. When you bless me, I will praise thee. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God.
Yes, thou art my God. I will praise thee with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore throughout the endless ages of eternity. Why? Verse 13, for great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. God's great mercy. God's deliverance. He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way. Therefore I will praise thee. He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and on the Lord rely. Thou hast delivered my soul from hell, from the lowest hell. We think of Christ speaking these words, thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Delivered from hell, from the deepest, darkest hell. Christ rose victorious, triumphant. But it's true of every child of God through Christ. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Sometimes you and I, we can be in a very deep, dark, devilish place. Satan, it seems, has won the victory. But no. Thou hast delivered my soul, and Satan shall be bruised under your feet shortly. Yes, we have victory through Christ. Verse 14. O Lord, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. David could say that when Saul arose against him and Saul's henchmen were seeking to destroy him. He could say it too when proud Absalom gathered all Israel, it seemed, Ahithophel included, against David. How true it was of our Lord Jesus Christ when Annas and Caiaphas, King Herod and the governor Pilate combined together against the Lord's anointed to destroy them. The proud risen up against me. I have power. I have power to kill you, and I have power to release you. So said Pilate. Proud Pilate, thou couldst have no power against me unless it were given thee from above. The proud are risen against me, the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. David discovered that, and our Lord too. With strong crying and tears, he prayed to him that was able to deliver him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. He was delivered by God, raised from the dead. Thou art full of compassion, worth trusting in. In stark contrast to the proud who have no compassion. Verse 16. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give strength unto thy servant. Save the son of thine handmaid. Lord, I am weak. I am failing. I'm tottering, I'm falling. Turn unto me, have mercy upon me, lift me up. I feel like I'm about to collapse. Give strength unto thy servant. Strengthen me with all might in the inner man. Save the son of thine handmaid, the son of thy godly handmaid. Save the son of thine hand. I'm thy servant, Lord. I wish to serve thee. And I'm the son of your handmaid. Lord, save me. Look upon me in mercy. And show me a token for good. A token for good. The enemy says, where is your God? What good is your Christianity? What benefit does it for you to pray to him? To go and worship in him in his church? To follow him? Lord, show me a token for good. Show that you're my God. Deliver me. Answer me. Help me. Hear my prayers. Give me a sign from thyself that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. They said, where's your God? God said, I'm here. And here's my servant. Because thou, Lord, hast holpen me. Thou hast helped me and comforted me. Well, that's our God, isn't it? How many times he helped and comforted us in the past. And so when we go through the deepest and darkest hell, thou, Lord, hast helped me. Praise God. Let's pray. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast comforted us. Thou hast answered us. Thou art worthy of being trusted in. Thou hast delivered us from the lowest hell. And thou wilt bring us to the highest heaven. Glory be to thy name. We give thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose merits we plead. And in whose intercession for us we rejoice. Amen.